Gracious God, give us humble, teachable, and obedient hearts, that we may receive what you have revealed and do what you have commanded. Since we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth, make us hunger for this heavenly food, that it may nourish us today in the ways of eternal life, through Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. A reading from the book of Luke, chapter 3. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized, and he was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So friends, as we gather for worship today, the number of new cases daily this past week of COVID-19 has exceeded 2 million. We have the visual reminders of one another wearing masks today, even our worship leaders, even me, wearing a mask in addition to having our doors opened and the social distance that we're observing, and many of you joining us in worship from your homes, thanks be to God. All of these are stark visual reminders that COVID-19 rages on. March of 2020, some of us thought it might be a matter of weeks or months. It has stretched into years. And as we gather for worship, many of us, if not all of us, are exhausted by COVID-19. As parents, we aren't sure this coming Monday whether our children will be going to in-person school or virtual school. Some of you, I know, brought your children to school this last week and then had to bring them back home because you learned too many staff were out sick from COVID-19. We know there are many in our congregation who are in healthcare, either doctors, some working at hospitals, and we also know this has been an especially hard season for them. Those who are working in healthcare face, on one hand, staff shortages. They also face increasing demand, and they face nursing and other staff that are often home these days due to COVID-19. Some of us come to worship facing economic insecurity. Our livelihood has been threatened or challenged in significant ways by COVID. Some of us have known COVID ourselves, been stricken with it, or right now are thinking of friends or family members who have it. We all carry the burden of COVID in some way. But we carry other burdens as well. Some of us have lost a friend or loved one, maybe this last week or month or year. Perhaps this last Christmas was the first time that we celebrated the holidays without them, and we feel that loss. Some of us come to worship in a job that doesn't feel like a calling, or a job that just feels like it's stressing us out more than we can bear. Some of us come to worship in a relationship that feels like a constant struggle. Some of us are concerned about the state of our country, a state of our democracy, especially after January 9th this past Thursday, remembering the insurgency that took place. We fear for our country. Some of us fear for our world, and the recent Boulder, Colorado fires being one of many examples of how climate is changing. We're concerned for those who've lost homes and concerned for our earth. Some of us come concerned for the Christian church in North America and around the world, concerned about the challenges that COVID has posed, concerned about how so many are missing out today on the incredible invitation of Christian discipleship. With all those burdens, we come to worship. Why? Why do we bother? Why do we come to gather, whether online, if you're watching the service right now, or in person, if you're gathered here in the sanctuary? Why have we come? Why listen to songs? Why sing songs like Come to the Water? Why listen to Angela read scripture or me preaching? Why pray? Why observe this time? Why not just watch Netflix or play a video game or go for a walk? Why do we worship? One reason I think that we worship, one reason I think we are all gathered here, is to get what I might call a cosmic perspective, at least for this hour, to try to grasp for a time a cosmic perspective. Now, this can be a great gift, and it doesn't mean our problems, our challenges, our losses magically disappear. But with a cosmic perspective, our struggles, our challenges, even our losses are not all that we see. We can see a bigger picture as well. We have another lens through which to view ourselves, others, and the world around us. Now, what do I mean by a cosmic perspective? Well, you might grasp the beginning of such a perspective standing atop Echo Mountain. I know many of you have made the hike up to Echo Mountain. I did myself not too long ago. And from the top of Echo Mountain, looking down on Pasadena, you might have even been able to spot the place where you live, your home. And in seeing it from that different perspective, from that lofty spot, from that place just a little closer to the heavens, a little closer to the cosmos above it, you might have seen your house as, in fact, just one house among a whole lot of different homes and apartments. You might have recognized and remembered that, wow, it is in fact just one among 61,572 housing units in Pasadena. And your perspective might have broadened further, especially if your eye could reach Los Angeles or perhaps Glendale, and you might have thought about the 329 million people spread across the nation. But then your imagination might have gone even further, and you thought of the 7.9 billion people spread around the globe and thought, wow, my home is just one billionth of the homes represented around the globe today. But atop Echo Mountain, your eye might fall on trees and mountains as well, and you might reflect on how the human race is just one small part of this larger body, this entity we call the Earth. Scientists believe the Earth has a history of about 4.5 billion years. Scientists also believe the human race goes back maybe 2 million years at most, 1/1,000th of Earth's history. That's humanity. Human beings, and if you looked at recorded history, especially that for which we have archaeology and written records, if you say go back no farther than Sumerian society, at that point it would be smaller still. If you looked from ancient Sumerian society to today, that represents 1/1,000,000th of the history of the earth. You're one tiny sliver of that. One of 1 billion and more people in this tiny fraction, 1/1,000,000th of the history of the earth. Feeling small yet? No? Okay. Well, then just wait up atop Echo Mountain until night falls and then look up. And you might see, oh, maybe 1,000 stars at most. And those 1,000 stars, in fact, are just some of the 400 billion stars in our galaxy alone. And astronomers believe our galaxy and its 400 billion solar systems represent just one of the 170 billion galaxies. Your life and mine in the face of that, in the face of 170 billion galaxies, in the face of the cosmos, we are but a fraction of a fraction. We're less than a rounding error. We vanish. We are nothing. Statistically, we are irrelevant. But Echo Mountain can only take us so far. Scientists studying stars or Earth's history can only take us so far. If you really want to get a cosmic perspective and go higher still, listen for God's word as it is read from Scripture. Then you will hear of a power greater than the cosmos. You will hear Genesis proclaim a God who created the cosmos. You will hear the prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah and Amos tell of a God who set in order the sun, moon, and stars. You'll hear the Psalms tell of how God determined the precise number of the stars and gave to each one of them their names. You'll read of how when you gaze up to the heavens to look at the stars, you'll be seeing the handiwork, the fingers of God at work. You'll hear in Scripture of a power greater than 7.9 billion people, greater than 4.5 billion years of Earth's history, greater than even 170 billion galaxies. If you really want to feel small and insignificant, compare yourself to that power behind all things. Who are you? Who am I? In the face of a power billions upon billions upon billions of times greater than us. Friends, that is a cosmic perspective. And you might find today that kind of perspective is a relief. Why is it a relief? Because the burdens we carry, the worries we hold, the heartbreaks we bear, they might not go away with the cosmic perspective, but they might not feel so heavy. Suddenly, they're not the whole world, not all that exists, not everything in our frame of reference, even a global pandemic. Hard as it has been, disruptive as it has been, death-dealing as it is, it's not the whole story, not from a cosmic perspective. It's but a tiny fraction of the story of human history, which itself is a tiny fraction of Earth's history, itself a tiny part of the cosmos. But if you listen for the cosmic perspective from Scripture, you will get more than just a portrait of a power greater than the sun, moon, and stars. You will read of how that power behind all things chose to enter one tiny sliver of Earth's history. And not only did that power enter our world, our time and place, but God declared that you and I are not, in fact, nothing, not a mere rounding error. Though there's plenty of evidence in the cosmos to suggest that's exactly what we are. But in Scripture, we read of how the very power that created the sun, moon, and stars in their courses above declared us, you and me, beloved. Beloved. In today's passage, we read of one of those times the God of the cosmos drew near to enter human history. We read of an occasion when the very heavens opened and human beings, for a moment at least, were granted a cosmic perspective, and it changed things. We read of how in the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, the word of God came to a region of Judea, to a man named John, the son of Zacchaeus. And God brought to John a cosmic perspective, and it was a perspective he went on to share with others. John baptized people in the wilderness by the Jordan River, recalling God's work in the ancient Sinai wilderness with God's people. And John spoke of cataclysmic events, of mountains being leveled, of valleys being raised up. He spoke of wrath and fire, forgiveness and salvation. He spoke of one coming who was so great, that John himself, as he put it, was not even worthy to untie the thong of this coming one's sandals. He said, like so many times we've seen in Scripture, when the God of the cosmos draws near, people say, who am I? I'm nothing in comparison to a power that great. That is what John said of the coming one, of the one who would be the Messiah. Compared to that, John said, I'm a fraction of a fraction. I baptize you with water. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. He will come bringing the terrifying power behind the cosmos near, so get ready. And then we read in Luke's gospel, Jesus came along with others to be baptized by John in the Jordan. And according to Luke's gospel, it was after Jesus was baptized. While he prayed, so often in Luke's gospel, powerful things happen in prayer. While Jesus prayed, the heavens opened. And I love how John Calvin writes about this moment in his commentary on this text. He writes of how often in Scripture when the heavens opened, it's a kind of manifestation of a glimpse of God's power. But here, Calvin notes, we get something more. It's like there's a cleft, an opening in the heaven that allows us to see, as Calvin puts it, something beyond the planets and stars, something beyond the planets and stars. We see the Spirit of God and we see it descend. And it doesn't take terrifying form like a meteor shower or lightning. Instead, it takes the form of a dove. And rather than a terrifying voice coming down from the cosmos, we hear instead these words said of Jesus, "You are my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." That's a cosmic perspective. On one hand, the moment might make us feel so small. We're like John the Baptist, unfit to untie the thongs of his sandals, this one who's declared to be the very Son of the author of the universe. Who are we in the face of that power? We're dust. And yet, this Jesus would befriend fishermen and tax collectors. He would invite women like Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Susanna to be his followers. He would approach the leper, the sick, the outcast, and touch them. He would speak of how the very power that shaped the cosmos was bent on human liberation from oppression. He would show the power of God in the simplest of human actions, distributing bread and fish to the hungry, or in the action of a Samaritan caring for a poor migrant by the side of the road. He spoke of God's lavish welcome to all, and he spoke of God's judgment on those who hoarded wealth and power for themselves at the expense of others. This one who was declared God's own son would welcome ordinary people, sinners even, into God's family, and he would call them sisters and brothers. In his crucifixion, this Jesus would show God's immense love for the world, and then in his resurrection, would show us God's power even over death. Today, by faith in that Savior, that great declaration God makes of Jesus, "You are my Son, the Beloved, with you I am well pleased," that applies to us too, as those who hold faith in Christ, as those who've been baptized into his death and resurrection, for we've been made one with him. As the book of Ephesians puts it, we who are in Christ have been adopted by God. We've been adopted, those who've been called and claimed as God's own through Christ, adopted, members of the family. And Ephesians goes on to say we are beloved. That same word God uses of Jesus at the start of Luke's gospel, beloved. That's not just what God called Jesus when he prayed and the heavens opened. That is what God calls you and me who are made one with God through Christ in our baptism. So two great truths, two parts of the cosmic perspective for Christians. One, we are dust. We are nothing compared to the power behind the cosmos. We, like John, are unfit to even bend down and untie the thong of the sandals of the one in whom the fullness of God saw fit to dwell. We are dust. Two, we are beloved. We are beloved, declared worthy. The power of the universe declares us God's own in Christ. The Creator of all things, we read, cares for the poor and oppressed, the sick and hurting, and proclaims we are beloved. That's a cosmic perspective. And I don't know what it is that we'll give you at each Sunday, but I hope something every Sunday does exactly that. Maybe it'll be the words like, come to the water, that invites you in to that cosmic perspective. Maybe it'll be words that we pray together, like those great words of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven, and you'll remember the God of the cosmos and see things a little differently. It might be words from Scripture that are read, perhaps words read today, like when John says, I am not fit to untie the thongs of his sandals, or perhaps those words God says of Jesus, This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Maybe it'll be simply gazing on symbols like the table or the cross or the pulpit or the baptismal font that will invite you in to this cosmic perspective. And you'll see, not that the burdens you carry, not that the worries and anxieties vanish because they don't. But somehow I hope each Sunday with this perspective you'll see that those struggles and worries are not the whole story, not by a long shot. COVID is not the whole story, not by a long shot. There are powers beyond us, cosmos that stretch beyond what our minds can possibly comprehend. And the author of all that promised to be with you and me by the power of the Holy Spirit in whatever struggles we face. Maybe with the cosmic perspective, you'll see God's power at work in the simplest of acts, prayer, sharing food, or even loving your neighbor. We are nothing. We are beloved. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Amen.